Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHER are out to change that. InvestHERCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHERCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHERCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHER, H-E-R, con.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Get in the game. Everyone wants to wait, and the best time to get in real estate is now.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Hello, best ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Ash Patel, and I'm with today's guest, Anders Jacobson. Anders is joining us from Raleigh, North Carolina. He is the CEO of Brighton Capital. They purchase mismanaged and underperforming properties, renovate and implement their systems to increase revenue and decrease expenses. Anders' portfolio consists of over 2,500 multifamily units across the South. Anders, thank you for joining us, and how are you today?
I'm great, Ash. How are you doing?
Very good. It's a pleasure to have you. Anders, if you would, can you give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in sales for 13 years and an entrepreneur, started two companies. And now I'm focused on helping people who are in sales or entrepreneurs stop working for money and put their money to work for them in real estate. So we buy multifamily assets across the Southeast and alternative assets as well, and bring on salesmen, entrepreneurs who are looking to make passive income and really get that freedom that they're really looking for.
You started this in 2018, is that right?
End of 2017.
Can you give me the blueprint that you followed or the roadmap on how you got from just starting in 17 to 2,500 units and now helping others as well?
Absolutely. At the time, I had just started my first company. I was in the door-to-door solar industry and had done well in it and started my first company. I had been burned by the stock market and lost a good chunk of money being newly married. That hurt. And I had done a ton of research. I had read as many books as possible, listened to as many podcasts as I could. This was a big one that I listened to, which is cool coming full circle here. But I listened to as much as I could and read as much as I could, attended events to try to figure out what the ultra successful were doing, and kept coming back to just the one common denominator was commercial real estate and multifamily. So in end of 2017, I invested in my first deal as a limited partner LP. I didn't know what I was doing at all on the real estate side. I didn't have the time or really energy to go out and find my own deals because I was running my business and just super busy. So that was the best route for me, was to invest passively. And it was amazing because I was able to focus on what I was passionate about and loved doing and allow somebody who I trusted as an operator to manage the property and bring me passive income, tax benefits, and really start diversifying my investment portfolio. And so I started that way and started to grow my portfolio passively, and then had some connections through some mastermind groups where I was able to get more active. And I tested the waters on some smaller properties. I did a few duplexes, fourplexes, and just kept coming back to liking the larger multifamily deals, just the economies of scale. And I had a nightmare property, a 4-unit, that really pushed me over the edge to go all in on large multifamily. So in 2021, I joined a group specific for multifamily to really learn the game, find partners that I would want to work with and grow with. And that's when my portfolio really took off, where we started to buy lots of properties in the Southeast, Texas, and that's how I got here today.
Anders, the 2,500 units, are those deals that you syndicated or your partners on or your LP, GP on? Let's break those down.
Yeah, combination of both. Some are limited partner positions, but the majority are either JV or GP positions. I'm a owner of the property and manager.
And out of those, how many of those are ones that you found the deal, you raised the capital, you put the team together?
Out of those, about 4 of the deals, only a few hundred units where I personally did everything. The majority are I helped raise capital and helped on the asset management side, but one of my partners or operators found the deal and put it together, and I partnered with them on it.
What would you say your primary role is in multifamily syndication?
Mine's capital raising and investor relations.
And how did you start out capital raising?
It started out just without me even really knowing I was doing it. I was investing in some deals early on and I loved it. And people who were working for me and just friends in the industry and friends and family were asking me what I was doing on the investment side. And again, I'd been burned by the stock market. So I was trying to find a safer, more reliable route. So I just told them what I was doing. I said, hey, I've invested in these properties. This is how it works. This is why I like it. And they were super interested. And they said, well, if you find anything else, let me know. I'd love to check that out. So as I grew and kept finding deals, I just let my friends, family, employees, coworkers know. And they started investing with me in these deals side by side. And so that's kind of how it happened. And then once I exited my solar company, I knew this was the route I wanted to continue on. And I loved helping others find an avenue to really put them on track for that financial freedom, the way that I had seen it happen for us and me and my family.
Anders, how did you monetize those investments from others?
Again, I didn't really have a part in how much money they were putting in, and I didn't get any kickback at all on anything that they were investing in the deals. I was just helping them out. There was no benefit for me at the time. Now that I've started to partner on these deals and I'm doing it full time, there's obviously some benefits for me, and so I'm making a living by helping other people. But yeah, at the time there was no kickback or monetization for me.
I get it. And now what does that look like? What does your revenue stream look like from the capital raising? Not in terms of dollars, but how does that work in terms of given percentage points of a GP or given acquisition fees? Let's dive into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a capital raiser, you have to participate in more than just capital if you want to participate on the GP side. So I have asset management roles as well. From my background for starting businesses, I'm helping in various ways throughout the asset management process and after we close on the property. But on the capital side specifically, there's a percentage given to me that is agreed upon up front. Say, how much can you raise before we ever put the deal under contract? And I let them know we agree on a percentage and move forward. And then that percentage of the capital raising portion is then paid out through the acquisition fee.
Okay, so you get a cut of the acquisition fee and then you get a percentage of the GP.
Correct.
Based on the amount of capital that you bring in.
Exactly.
Okay. And listen, this is a great model when the market's going up. You look like an absolute rock star because a lot of people, their only alternative was a third-party money manager or the stock market, right?
Right.
Whatever they chose to invest in. They don't have access to a lot of these alternative investments. So you're everybody's friend when the arrow's going up and to the right. Have you encountered situations where deals maybe didn't go the way they're supposed to, or there's paused distributions?
Luckily, I have not yet. I've been extremely, extremely selective. All the operators that I've worked with are ones that I had invested with on my own. So I'd put my own money at risk before I brought it to any of my investors. And I'd seen how they operated, how they communicated, how their underwriting was, whether it was super conservative or super aggressive, and try to have a very low risk tolerance when choosing partners. So luckily, we haven't ran into that yet, where we haven't had paused distributions and we haven't had really any major issues that we've run into.
Do you negotiate a higher return for your investors versus all of the other retail investors that just happen to find this syndicator?
Yes, we actually have a fund right now. We've negotiated a higher return for our investors. It's a short-term rental fund. So yes, we're always trying to negotiate higher returns for my investors, kind of give them that carrot to invest with us rather than directly through the operator. And the operator loves that as well.
What is the one key factor you look for in an operator when you're considering investing?
That's a tricky one. I would say track record is huge. It's really hard for me to partner with a brand new operator just because I want to see their deals, how they've gone full cycle, what their initial projections were compared to actuals. So I would say track record is the biggest. You can't really BS your way around the track record and the results.
Anders, I got to ask you a question. In terms of presenting deals versus selling them, now there's a fine line there, and it's more than just presenting. You've got a sales background of 13 years. Give me a really good description of how much you're selling versus presenting, because everybody wants to close, right? Nobody wants the hard pitch, but you got to offer some encouragement. Walk me through that process. If I'm somebody who's lukewarm on investing, yeah, we'll talk about it, or tell me more, send me some information in the mail. What are some tactics that you use to close deals?
That's a great question. The thing that I always am searching for in sales or now in real estate is you got to find that massive pain. What are the pain points that investor has felt? And every investor has felt something along the way. Every person has felt that pain when it comes to finances. Maybe they have a job that they have a fixed amount of income they're making, or maybe their portfolio, they've invested through a financial advisor and it's not growing the way they want it, or they have a 401k and they can't touch this money for a long period of time. So you just got to find out what they like and don't like and where those pain points are, and then hit on those. The great part about real estate and why I love it and why I'm focused on it now is because I don't feel like I'm really selling any property. The numbers and the industry and this vehicle really, I feel like, is the best in the world. It's the most consistent, most dependable, and that's why I love it. So it's really, I'm trying to help them make a decision, not trying to sell them. Nobody wants to be sold. I walk into a shoe store and they say, "Hey, what are you looking for?" I say, "Oh, but nothing. I'm just checking things out." Even if I know exactly what shoe I'm going there to find, because I just don't want to be sold a product. It's just kind of a natural human instinct. So really my job is just to help them make a decision, not trying to sell them on a property.
Let's replace the word sales with encouragement. So we've established sales is a dirty word, but I got to share a story. Back in the day, if I had a vacancy for a restaurant or a retail space, I would simply present it. I get a call from a potential tenant. They come in and they look at this restaurant. They take measurements and, okay, I'll get back to you. Or I've had people ready to write a check and I say, okay, let me send you the lease and then we'll meet up for signing it in the check. And all of that was a failure on my part because I should have offered a lot more encouragement. I had people that were so excited when they saw the space and they knew it would work for them, and then they disappeared. And in hindsight, if I had said, how can you envision the flow of this space? What kind of boutique items or furniture would you put in here? What kind of food would you serve if this was your restaurant? What would the menu look like? You get them to envision themselves in that space and become emotionally tied to that. And again, I learned that much later than I should have. But in terms of those types of interactions, what do you do when you're presenting deals to potential investors?
I feel like it's all about the storytelling. So when I find a deal or I'm partnering with the operator, I dig super deep into the story. Like, how did we find this deal? Why is the seller selling? What did we do to make them interested in selling? Is it off market? Did a broker help us? Really, what's the story behind it? Why is it a win-win for both sides? And then figuring out how to tell that story. So sales, it's all a storytelling industry. If you can tell a story right, you can sell anything. And in real estate, there's always a story behind each property. For example, we just bought a property just outside of Charleston, South Carolina. And it was one of the best stories ever. A family had owned this property for 40 years. And we came in and they said they'd received over 100 calls every quarter from brokers trying to buy this property. And we were lucky to have a partner that lived in the area and made a personal connection. And they said, yeah, we're not really interested in selling. But we were able to have our broker get in touch with them and say, what if we can buy this property and you make the same amount you're making now through seller financing? We pay you a monthly payment. You have the same profit, but we take it off your hands. You have no risk. And we were able to do that. And this story that this family had owned it for 40 years, this daughter was managing it all by herself. Rents were $1,000 a month below market. That's the story that we're able to craft and tell our investors that really get them interested and help encourage them across that finish line, like you said.
What are some pain points that you've addressed and solved through real estate investments for your investors?
Again, I'm focusing on door-to-door salesmen and entrepreneurs. So as a salesman myself, I had these same pain points where I was constantly working for money and only money that was coming in was commission based off the sales that I made. So every day I was waking up back at zero. I could have the greatest sales day ever. I could sell 7, 10 solar accounts. And then the next day I wake up back at zero. So it was just this constant kind of hamster wheel and cycle. And so many salespeople deal with the same thing. They're great at what they do. They make a lot of money, but it's just this constant Groundhog's Day experience. And they're only making money if they make sales. So being able to help them get their money into a vehicle that's passive, where they don't have to put any of their time, energy into it, and they are still able to receive income stream and also receive tax benefits. It's really an amazing experience and really fulfilling for me. So that's the biggest pain point I think we focus on.
We'll get back to the show with first some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about.
If you want to do bigger and better commercial real estate deals, take your real estate capital raising efforts to new heights with syndicationattorneys.com. With more than 20 years of real estate and investing experience, syndicationattorneys.com goes beyond just creating legal documents. They educate you on ethical and legal capital raising strategies. Plus, they offer a host of free resources, including their best-selling capital raising books, numerous articles, and their popular podcast, Raise Private Money Legally. At syndicationattorneys.com, they do more so you can do more. More deals, bigger deals, and better deals. So if you want attorneys with premier experience helping syndicators and fund managers raise capital, go to syndicationattorneys.com today to schedule an appointment and unlock your maximum capital raising potential today. That's syndicationattorneys.com. This offer is not available to Florida residents.
Anders, at some point you run out of friends and family. And I would imagine you got a lot of friends with being in sales, but at some point you run out. What are you doing to attract new investors?
There's a few ways. I run the multifamily meetup group here in the Raleigh area. Also have started to get super active on social media. That was something that definitely out of my comfort zone, not something that I did before, but am now very active on LinkedIn specifically, sharing my story, sharing free knowledge information to potential investors who can get that connection with me and see if we're a good fit. So social media and then in-person events are definitely top of the list as well.
Do you walk a fine line on social media? Are you a registered 506C?
We do 506B and 506C offerings. So have to play that game where if it's a 506C, we're not just blasting it everywhere, but we do advertise a little bit there. The 506B, obviously, we don't at all and are only working with investors that we have prior relationships with. So yeah, a little bit of both.
What's been your experience on LinkedIn to get the most traction?
I think being just a little bit vulnerable with your story and just really sharing what your experience has been. So for me, sharing a lot about my sales history and the hardships that I went through and why real estate really was that answer that I was looking for, that's gotten me the most traction because people can really feel that emotion and can relate to it. And they can really sense, I think, whether you're being honest or you're just posting stuff just to get them into your lead funnel. So really trying to be genuine and honest and vulnerable in some cases to share your story online.
What are the biggest mistakes do you think people make on LinkedIn?
I see so many accounts that are just extremely salesy. Right when I see it, it turns me off a little bit, kind of like when you walk in the store and you just don't want to be sold, right? When they walk up to you and ask if you're looking for anything. I'll see a lot of posts on LinkedIn that are just right in your face. I think just, again, telling your story is the best route rather than just pitching people nonstop every day. Because eventually people get sick of being pitched a deal.
Yeah, I think adding value in solving problems, solving those pain points. I remember I was struggling with time management. I'm sure I had a post where I shared something I'm working on, something that worked for me. And then sharing wins. I think you got to do that with a grain of salt. I hate seeing the posts where just closed. That's great. But how about we close this deal and here's the biggest lesson we learned. Or this almost didn't happen because this happened. Make sure you don't encounter this issue. So adding value, I think, is very important and solving pain points. If you overcame a mindset struggle, throw that out there on LinkedIn and share that struggle and share what you did to help others. So I agree, those genuine posts are great. And the, hey, look at me posts get really old.
Yeah, I agree. Adding value, just like you said, sharing your experience and just saying, hey, this is where we went wrong. These are ways that we found a solution to the problem are definitely key in those posts. Because if you're adding free value, then people will be drawn to that because you're not asking for anything in return. You're saying, hey, I'm going to give you this free content, this free value. And eventually, people naturally don't want to take things for free. They want to exchange value. So they say, all right, if you're going to keep giving me this free content and I'm going to keep consuming it, eventually, maybe I want to give you something back for all the free content that you give me. And that's where they reach out and are interested in investing.
If somebody reaches out to you on LinkedIn, what's the process from there? They send you a message, tell me more.
First thing I want to do is just hop on a phone call with them. I like the personal touch and just the communication. I want to hear their story, what's been good for them, bad for them. So I'll hop on a phone call, and if we feel like it's a good fit and they'd be an ideal fit for our investor club, then we'll add them into our club and they'll start getting access to the opportunities that we come across.
What is the club? Is it just your email list of potential investors?
Yep. Email list. There's newsletters. There's free content, free value, of course. And then we're starting to develop more with that club where there's a potential meetups, in-person events that we offer as well.
What's some of the free value that you offer?
Many of the people who join our investor club are brand new. They've been in sales or, again, entrepreneurs that they've never invested in real estate. Most of their experience is just in the stock market. So I really, from my sales background, always valued simplicity. So we really break down what certain definitions are in this industry, because real estate guys just made up these random words to try to sound smart, I'm convinced. So many people don't know what anyone's talking about when they are reading an article about a syndication, or Marcus and Milichap are trying to explain something in an article. It just goes over their head. So I really try to break down what these definitions are, try to make it as simple as possible so that their 8-year-old, 10-year-old kid could watch the video or read the article and understand what's going on.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in your real estate career?
Made a lot of them, but the biggest one I would say is investing in a market that I was not in close proximity to with very tenant-friendly laws. So I got into a property that was an absolute nightmare. And because the laws in the state were very leaning towards the tenant, it was a painful property for me for a lot of time until I sold it.
Anders, I would imagine we have a number of best ever listeners who will tell you, I'm not comfortable posting on LinkedIn or any social media. I'm a private person. But at the same time, they might be great operators and they might be able to benefit by getting investors on board. What's your advice to those who tell you, I'm not big on social media, I'm private, all those excuses? How would you encourage them to put themselves out there on social media?
I'd say it's a limiting belief, just kind of breaking through that barrier. One of my mentors asked me the question, he said, why are you getting on social media? He said, are you a consumer or are you a producer? Because if you get on there and you just scroll, you're really not getting much benefit. But if you can produce and really add value to other people's lives, you're making an impact on who knows how many people. So yeah, I think people enjoy sometimes seeing what their high school buddies or college buddies are doing and just keeping in touch. But are you really adding value by posting about your family's awesome vacation compared to teaching them or adding value of telling them what you're doing and the mistakes you've made, the problems you've been able to solve? I truly believe it's more beneficial to those in your life and those out there in the world. So do it, push through that limiting belief and just start doing it, and it starts to become a lot easier.
Good answer. What is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Get in the game. Everyone wants to wait, and the best time to get in real estate is now. Definitely get educated, learn as much as you possibly can, but start now, because the sooner you start, the sooner you can start adding properties onto kind of a conveyor belt, and you can start gaining that passive income, the appreciation, tax benefits, and you'll learn. Once you dive in, you're going to learn a lot very quickly, a lot more than you can from listening to podcasts or reading books.
What is one thing that you do to get in the right networks? Surround yourself with the right people. How do you do that?
Some of it was luck to begin with. I just randomly connected with people at events, but I would say go to real estate events, get in person with people. That's the best way to network. And you can ask them, those who have been successful, and say, are you part of any group? Is there any group that I should be joining or a part of? And people in this industry I've found are go-getters, but they're also go-givers. They're happy to share and help you because they were once in your shoes. I was once a newbie, didn't have a clue what I was talking about, didn't understand anything in the multifamily space. And now I've learned a lot. Definitely not smartest in the industry, but I'm happy to back and share because people did that for me.
Have you gone to the Best Ever Conference, or are you planning on going?
I am planning on going. I have not gone. I actually planned to go last year, and then I have a 1-year-old now, but had a newborn. He was super sick last year and had to cancel plans. But yes, I plan to go.
In terms of networking, it's probably the best real estate networking event that I've ever been to. And it's cool because there's not a bunch of people selling stuff. Really, no one's selling anything. It's there just to network. So good, man. I'll see you there. You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Absolutely.
All right. What's the best ever book you recently read?
Who Not How, a Dan Sullivan.
What's the best ever way you like to give back?
We like to do service, our family locally. We like to go and do service projects. Also, again, give free education, free content, doing a local meetup. It's not paid.
And Anders, how can the best ever listeners reach out to you?
The best way, look me up on LinkedIn is easy, or you can go to our website at brightoncapital.io. Just click join the club, put in your information. You'll get an email or you can set up a call directly with me.
Anders, thank you for your time today, sharing your story. You came out of a 13-year sales career and you just started randomly investing as an LP into real estate deals, brought your friends and family along, and now made it into a career. So great story. Thank you for sharing it.
Thanks, Ash. Appreciate you.
Hey, best ever listeners, thank you as well for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star review. Share this podcast with someone you think can benefit from it. Also, follow, subscribe, and have a best ever day.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access and you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.